Yes, I'm going to invite Sharon to come up and Shannon as well, if you would, please. And this being Mother's Day, Sharon's going to break the word to us. And Shannon wants to pray over her mother before she speaks this morning.
I speak after that. I can't make it without crying. Shocker. This morning during worship, I was just thinking about all the blessings that my mother has given me, and not just me as her child, but all the other children in the church, whether it's someone who's 2 or 30. I mean, she's just blessed so many people as a mother. And I just really want to pray a blessing over her this morning as she speaks and shares, not only over my mom, but all the other moms and the mothers' hearts that are out there. Oh, Jesus. God, I just thank you for this mother of mine that you have brought into my life and to so many other lives, God. I thank you for the example that she is, the unconditional love that she has given to so many people, God. And the support. I pray that you would speak through her, touch the mothers' hearts this morning, God. That a blessing would be poured out, Jesus, on the mothers this morning, God. We would be nowhere without our mothers. Lord, I pray that you would bless every single mom in here, every single mom in the community, even those women who have a mother's heart, God. That today that they would feel something special, that they would feel something special from you, Jesus. That their hearts would be touched in a unique and a special way. God, I pray that your words would flow through mom's mouth, Jesus, and prick our hearts in a special way, Jesus, like they've never been done before. I thank you for what you are going to do through her this morning, God, and how you are going to bless us. We love you.
Wow, that was unexpected. Thank you, Shannon. The guys are handing out the handout notes for this morning. Yes, today is a day to honor moms. You know, somebody has said that moms are probably the most educated ones out there. Why? Because they're a mother, they're a teacher, they're a nurse, they're a counselor, they're a comforter, they're a chef, they're a taxi driver, they're a cheerleader, they're a nurturer, they're a warrior. And we could go on and on and on. Maybe they didn't get a degree in all of that, but experience-wise, yes, that's what our moms are. We do want to honor all of you moms today, but I also want to honor all of you women, because God has given you a mama's heart, whether you have biological children or not. God has given you a heart for people, a heart for children, a heart to pass on God's love. I know that today is a day to remember how our mothers have impacted us or continue to impact us. I'm remembering my mother today. The little necklace I have on has diamonds in it from both of my parents' wedding bands. So it's a precious memory for me of what my mother did for me. I know that it's not the same for some of you. Some of you have memories that are not pleasant growing up, are not pleasant with your mother. Let me encourage you. If you had a mother that wasn't a mom to you, Maybe one who gave you away or didn't want you and told you often they didn't want you. Can you at least today say, Mom, thank you for giving me life. Thank you for not aborting me as we watched that video. Thank you that you have chosen to give me life so that I can now learn what it is to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. Your mother did bless you with that. And we're glad she did, because we're glad you're part of our family here. I was blessed, as I've shared before with you, blessed to grow up with a praying mom. My mom was a powerful intercessor. I remember coming home from school. We lived on the farm, so I'd get off the school bus. I'd run in the house, and more times than not, Mom was sitting around the corner in the dining room where she had her sewing machine set up, and she was sewing. She was an excellent seamstress. She was making a dress for me, one of my sisters, making somebody for somebody in the community. And especially if I had a bad day or I had a decision that I really need to know what to do. I had a choice I had to make, and I didn't know what to do. I'd pull up a chair beside her sewing machine, and I'd say, Mom, this is what happened today. And we'd talk about it. And I'd say, Mom, what do I do? She'd give me godly advice, and she'd say, we're going to pray about it. And I knew she would. I knew she would pray. And now I'm a mom. And I have three wonderful children. Well, actually five, because I have two daughter-in-law and a son-in-law. And I have another son-in-law-to-be. We've had fun this weekend planning Shannon's fall wedding, doing details and working out fun details on that. But as a mom, one of the things that has been precious for me is that one of my kids will often send me a text. Aren't you glad for technology these days? You don't have to pick up a phone and don't have to write a letter. They'll send me a text and just say, hey, this is what's going on. I need some prayer. And I've gotten into the habit of texting back a warfare prayer that they can read out loud and come into agreement with and declaring, we are standing in agreement for what God has in this situation. It's been a blessing to be able to come beside them and do that with them and for them. But I want you to know our prayers are powerful. What we pray is impactive, and it has power. The enemy is after our children. The enemy is after this generation. Is that a surprise to anybody? No. We see it all over. We see it in the media. We see it in the schools. We see what's being taught by our professors in universities. The enemy is after our children. He knows if he can get hooks in their soul, he can just yank on that hook anytime he needs them to follow his way, his plans, his purposes. Never underestimate the enemy, but never overestimate him. Don't give him more credit than he deserves. But the enemy gets away with anything we allow him to. He is targeting our children stronger than ever before. Some of this is in your handout. And what I want to focus on today is I want to equip you as a mother, whether you have natural children or not, whether your children are grown and out of the home and you've got other children that you're mothering, how do I pray for them? I want to send you home with some tools, a tool belt with tools in it that you can use to pray for your children. So we're going to look at several weapons of warfare. The first one you have listed there in your notes is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is a weapon of warfare that God has given to us to use. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Whoa, how many of us have thought, if I just do what mom and dad did, if I act the way they did, or I believe what they kind of believed, that I'll be okay and that'll save me. All I have to do is work. Those aimless traditions of our fathers. No, that's not where it's at. But it says, we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The blood of Jesus is the most powerful thing we have today. It's because the blood that was shed on the cross destroyed the works of the enemy. When we apply, I'm reading from your notes, when we apply the blood to our lives and the lives of our children, we appropriate what Jesus did on the cross. We declare to the spirit realm that its hold and legal right is destroyed. When you apply that blood of Jesus to a situation that your children are dealing with, or that you're dealing with, or you see somebody in this family dealing with, you apply the blood of Jesus. It is powerful because you are declaring, Satan, your power, your legal right has been broken. It is destroyed. And I'm not going to stand for it. Not on my watch are you going to do this. 1 John 3:8, Jesus said that he came to destroy the works of the devil. The word destroy is a Greek word, luo. And it's a legal word that means to pronounce or determine that something or someone is no longer bound. That which was legally binding is no longer. I'm going to reread that statement. Destroy is a legal word that means to pronounce or determine that something or someone is no longer bound. That which was legally binding is no longer. Jesus said, I came to destroy the works of the devil. I came to pronounce and determine that that which was bound is no longer legally binding. Wow. Therefore, what was once legal is now removed and rendered illegal. So when the enemy is trying to steal something from your children or your life, you can say to him, you are being illegal. No longer can you do this. I am enforcing the blood of Christ and the work which Jesus did on the cross, and what you're trying to do is illegal. So get out in Jesus' name. We enforce the victory that Jesus won on the cross for us. When you put the blood of Jesus against the works of the enemy, you render his agenda null and void. And you say, no longer will it have any effect. It is voided. It is voided. Remember, the enemy gets away with anything we allow him to. And he will try. But we stand in the authority that God has given us, using the weapons that he has given us. And one of those weapons is the blood of Jesus. And we say, no, it cannot happen. The second weapon of warfare that we've been given is the name of Jesus. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Think about the name of Jesus being a strong tower. When you're in a strong tower, do you fear? Do you feel safe? Yes. John 14, verses 13 and 14, Jesus says, ask in my name and I will do it. So what does he mean? Ask in my name. The name, the word name, represents all that comprises the character of a person. When I say Mark Thompson, what do you think of? You think of a counselor? You think of a loving father. You think of a worshiper. You think of a wonderful husband. You think of a gentle man with a gentle spirit and a kind heart. See, that's what's in a name. When I say Arliss Thompson, what do you think of? Woo! You think of a mother's smile and a mother's hug and a powerful person that will pray for you. You think of someone who tenderly loves. You see, the name represents everything that a person is. So when Jesus says, pray in my name, he says, when you're praying in my name, you're not using the name Jesus at the end of the prayer. Okay, in Jesus' name, amen. I just have to tack that on because it's my magic formula. No, it's not a magic formula. When you say, in the name of Jesus, you are saying, I am declaring everything that God is. As you have it there, you are declaring he is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is full of grace. He is merciful. He is my protector. He is my deliverer. He is my healer. And you could go on and on and on. So when you are praying in the name of Jesus, you are declaring, I am pulling everything that God is into this situation, and I am declaring that over my children and over this circumstance. The name of Jesus and all he represents. And you war from that strong tower. The name of Jesus is a strong tower. So as you are in that strong tower, in the name of who Jesus is, you rest in all that he is. And you kind of see him as a strong tower all around you because of his character, his nature. And that's where you're warring from on behalf of your children. You're protected, you're covered, and you're warring from the name of Jesus, a weapon that he has given us. The third weapon of warfare that we have, and those notes are on the back of your first page, the word, the truth, scripture, what God says is a weapon. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You shall know the truth. Who is truth? Jesus. You shall know Jesus. You shall know what he speaks. You shall know his character, and that sets you free. Isaiah 51:16, I love that verse because it talks about how that God's word in my mouth sets the captives free. Wow. You see, it doesn't matter what I'm conjuring up with my mouth, but when I take what God has said and I use one of his truths and I speak it, that sets the captives free. Because there's power in his word. There's power in his truth. When we declare God's word, we declare his truth, it is like a sword coming out of your mouth. Not only does it destroy the works of the enemy, but it also brings healing to the broken and the wounded. Hebrews 4:12 is that familiar verse that talks about the word being a two-edged sword. Why is it two-edged? It represents that on one edge, it is to go against and fight that enemy, cut him off, destroy his works. Because we have Jesus living in us, and he said, I came to destroy the works of the enemy. So when we speak his words, it is destroying his plans and his purposes. It is that sharp sword. The other side of the sword represents the tenderness of God's word, that when we speak it, it brings healing to our brokenness, to our woundedness. And I know that even today, some of you are hurting because of the relationship that you didn't have with your mother, or the painful relationship that you had, but you wished you wouldn't have had. and there's hurt and brokenness. But remember, Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. He has come to heal your heart today. Open it and let him take that sharp sword on that tender side, because he uses that and he digs in and he removes the poison. He removes those arrows that have pierced your heart from the kingdom of darkness. He removes those things and he brings healing into your broken heart. The two-edged sword is powerful. If this is God's words, if this is what God has said, then we know there's power in these words when we declare those truths. Speak these words over your children. Speak these words over your family. Speak these words over your neighborhood. Speak these words over your job. There's power in using God's word. Notice that statement that I have there at the end of that paragraph that's in bold italics. Always put a promise in every petition. How many of us come to God and say, oh God, I need you to do this and I need you to do that, and God, bring healing to this person and do this for this person, and yes, God, do this, and we're just petitioning him with all of this that we're telling him to do. Remember to put a promise into those petitions. Ask God for a promise from his word to include in that petition that you can stand on and you can say, this is what God says, so the enemy cannot have what I'm praying against. Put a promise in every petition. The fourth weapon, praying in the Spirit. In Romans 8:26, it says that the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. What does that mean? It means that there is a supernatural operation of the power of God that comes when we are broken in body, in mind, in spirit. And we come to him and we go, God, I don't know how to pray in this situation. I don't know what to do. And there's a supernatural operation of his power that comes because the Holy Spirit comes and helps us in our weaknesses. And it goes on in that verse and it says, the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever been in a situation where you go, I don't have a clue how to pray for this? Yeah, we should all be shaking our heads, yes. That's when we say, God, I don't know how to pray. And guess what? That's when Holy Spirit comes and says, but I do. And he begins to pray through us. As we pray in our spiritual language, our heavenly language, Holy Spirit comes and he prays. And guess what? His prayers always hit the target. Always. So when you're praying in your heavenly language, the Holy Spirit is praying through you, hitting the target. You may not know exactly what you're praying for. Often I don't, but that's okay, because he knows exactly what needs to be prayed, how to hit that target right on, what to do to destroy the works of the enemy. 1 Corinthians 14:15, Paul is talking about praying in our spiritual language. But he says in that, he says, I want you to do both. I want you to pray with the Spirit, and I want you to pray with your natural understanding. I want you to sing in the Spirit, and I want you to sing with natural understanding. You see, Paul is encouraging us. He is saying, God will often give you words in your natural language to pray. So use that, but also use your heavenly language. Do both. When you pray, when you sing, use both. It is a powerful weapon that we have. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17 is that passage that talks about putting on the armor of God. And in verse 18 it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always. Did you know that it doesn't matter where you are, your spirit can be praying? You can be carrying on a conversation with somebody in your natural language, and your spirit can be praying. You can be driving down the road, watching what's going on, and you can be praying. You see, you don't have to sit here and close your eyes to pray. You can pray wherever you are, whatever situation you're in. But remember, prayer is the battle. Prayer is the battle. It's not a weapon. Praying in the Spirit is a weapon that God has given us to use on that battlefield. When you go to prayer, that's the battle. You are doing war. You are battling. And God has given you weapons to use on that battlefield. We put the armor on to engage in the battle. Have you ever thought about, before I go into praying for something, I better make sure I've got my armor on? You don't want to go into battle without your armor, because you will get hit. Think of putting the armor on as putting Jesus on, because every one of those pieces of the armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the gospel of peace on my feet, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, that's all who Jesus is. So you're putting Jesus on as you go into battle, as you put that armor on. Prayer is the battle, and we use our weapon of our heavenly language, praying in the Spirit, as one of those weapons of warfare as we engage in battle. The fifth weapon is praise and worship. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 21 and 22 is a situation where Judah was facing war with the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. And Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, led the people in worshiping the Lord. And then notice what Jehoshaphat did. He appointed singers to go out before the army in warfare. And as those singers went out in front of the army, guess what God did? The Lord sent ambushes against the enemy. Wow. So as you use praise and worship as one of your weapons of warfare, you are worshiping, you are praising God in battle. God sends ambushes against the enemy. Hallelujah. It opens the heavenlies, and it allows God to come in and fight mightily on your behalf. As you praise and worship, it is like opening the heavenlies up and saying, God, come, come. And it gives him permission to come in and go to war for you on your behalf. Psalm 149, verses 6 through 9, talk about the high praises in our mouth binds the kings with chains. Who are the kings there? They are the powers of the kingdom of darkness. Our high praises in our mouth binds the powers. Remember the powers that and principalities that are listed in Ephesians 6, verse 12? Talks about we are fighting against principalities and powers. As you do praise and worship, it says it binds the kings, those powers and principalities, those rulers of darkness. It binds them with chains so they cannot operate. They cannot do what they've been assigned to do. Acts 16, verses 25 and 26 is an example of where Paul and Silas were in prison praying. They were singing hymns to God. They were in prison. They were in chains. Their feet were bound. They were praising God. They were rejoicing. And what happened? There was an earthquake. All the doors were opened. The chains were loosed. They were set free. Wow. When we choose to praise and worship, instead of grumbling and murmuring, tremendous things happen in the spirit realm. God fights for us. He comes in and he ambushes. We will see the powers of darkness bound and the chains that they had around your children, around that situation, will be loosed as you use that weapon of praise and worship. The sixth weapon is love. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. You know, when we war with the Father's love, we create an atmosphere of safety and security. We create an atmosphere for growth, for repentance, for healing. We create an atmosphere. You know, we may confront one of our children about a wrong choice that was made. And as we war from the Father's love, our heart is filled with the Father's heart of love. It creates an atmosphere where they'll say, you know what, that wasn't a very good decision, was it? And you can lead them through confessing it, walking them through repentance, but they don't feel condemned, they feel loved. And there's no fear in love. In God's love, there is no fear. It feels safe and secure. John 15:9 tells us that as the Father loves Jesus, so Jesus loves us. And the command is to abide in his love. So what does it mean to abide? Abide means to live, to take up permanent residence. So Jesus says, I love you with the exact same depth of love that the Father loves Jesus. And he says, would you just live in that? Would you take up permanent residence in that? Enjoy it. That's what I have for you. Abide in his love. 1 Corinthians 13 is that famous love chapter. And I want to encourage you, moms, dads, everybody, this applies to all of us, to put your name in the place of the word love. Verse 4 starts out by saying, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. So how does this work? If I put my name in there, and I encourage you to put your name in, I would read it, Sharon suffers long and is kind. Sharon does not envy. Sharon does not parade herself. She is not puffed up. Sharon does not behave rudely. Sharon does not seek her own. Sharon is not provoked. Sharon thinks no evil. See how it works? It gives us a different perspective, but that's who we are to be. Because the word says we are to be so filled with Jesus, and this is who Jesus is at 1 Corinthians 13, we are to be so filled with him that we represent him wherever we go, whatever we do. We present who Jesus is. So then that means this would describe us. It's a powerful weapon as we war for our children. As you intercede for your children, let me encourage you. You know, intercession is not just sitting and in my chair with my Bible and my eyes closed and I'm praying. That's part of it, yes. But intercession is much broader than that. Intercession is also just speaking truth into a person's life. As you do that, you're an intercessor. You are taking something that God said in his word, and you are speaking it, declaring it into that person's life. You are interceding for them. As we intercede for our family, we stand in the gap between our children and the kingdom of darkness. And we stand in that gap and we say, no, you will not have your way in my child's life. I am standing in the gap. I am blocking those assignments. We also stand between our children and the Father, and we are preparing an open way for our children to enjoy the intimacy with Jesus, the Father, Holy Spirit. Intercession is powerful. Some of us go, well, I'm not an intercessor. Yes, you are. All of us are intercessors. We may not recognize it, and it may be in different degrees. It may look different, but we're all intercessors. It may look different from what I do than what you do. But you know, as I look at these baskets of roses down here, and I don't know how many of you can actually see them from where you're sitting, but there's different colors in there. They don't all look the same. They're all roses, but some are red, some are yellow, some are orange, some are kind of a pinkish orange. They look different. We're all human beings, but we look different as we intercede, as we war. But God has equipped us. He has given us weapons to use in that warfare. The last page in your handout on both sides are scriptures and declarations for our children. This is really for you to take home and use. And I know that many of you can add scriptures and declarations of your own that you've already declared, you're already declaring to this. These are many that I have used continue to use. But I wanted to send home with you a resource, another tool that you can use as you war, as you pray for your children, as you pray for the community, our children in our community, as you pray for the children in our church. You see, that is all our responsibility. It's not just in your own family. It's in our church family. It's in our community family. So as you war for these children, this is your tool to take home with you. How does this work? Let's look at that first verse. In Isaiah 49:25, it says, "But thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible be delivered. For I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children." So, in bold there I have, know that when you are contending against the plans of the enemy, the Lord is contending with you. So I would take this verse and I would say, God, I thank you for this promise. As I pray for this child, I thank you, God, that the captives of the mighty will be taken away. What does that mean? The mighty is the kingdom of darkness. And maybe my child has been caught captive. And he is now captive of the mighty. And I declare this captive one is going to be taken away from the kingdom of darkness, from those powers that rule and reign in the kingdom of darkness. My child, my captive one, is going to be removed. And the prey of the terrible will be delivered. My child has become a prey for the enemy. He has spoken lies. He has spoken plans and his own plans and purposes. And the child has given into it. He's become a prey. And I say, no longer. I declare that my child will be delivered. That's your promise, God. I'm claiming that. And then, Lord, I thank you that you have promised me that you contend with him who is contending with me. The enemy, the kingdom of darkness, is contending with me right now. God, thank you. Your promise is that you are contending with me. And you say, I will save your children. God, I thank you for that promise. And so today I declare, and this is the declaration I put there for you, when my children are caught in the snare of the enemy, they will be delivered. For God is contending with my enemy on my behalf and will save my children. That's how you use these. This is your tool. One more I want to look at before we close. On the back side of that page, the top verse says, "Pray for the fear of the Lord to fill them." Proverbs 16:6. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. So, Father, I thank you that your promise is that in mercy and truth, we find forgiveness. God, I thank you that that's who you are. You are a merciful God. You are a God full of truth. And in that, there is an atmosphere, a safe atmosphere to confess sin, to receive forgiveness, to receive that atonement for sin. And so, Father, I pray that the fear of the Lord would so indwell my children that they will depart from evil, that they will so love and have such an awesome reverence for who God is. And at the same time, have such a hatred for sin as you have, God, that fear of the Lord will so fill them. What is the fear of the Lord? It's an awe, reverence for who God is, and it's also a hatred for sin as God hates sin. That my children will hate sin. When they're faced with a temptation, they won't be pulled into it because they will be walking in such a fear of the Lord, will hate sin like you hate it, God, and will not want to dishonor your character in any way. And so then I declare, my children are filled with the fear of the Lord. They have an awe for who he is and a hatred for evil, just as God has. Down at the bottom of that page is a quote. I came across, seven, 8 years ago, whatever. I don't have a clue where I read it, where I found it, where I heard it. I don't know. That's why I put it from an unknown author, because I don't remember. Oh, it's on the backside of your page. I'm sorry. It's on the bottom of my page. It says, God says, the enemy cannot have what is yours, and because you have given it to me, he doesn't stand a chance. Wow, do you like that or what? God says, the enemy cannot have what is yours, and because you have given it to me, he does not have a chance. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Father, I thank you for the tools that you have given us to do warfare. God, we know that today darkness is getting darker. The enemy is pulling out all of his stops to come against and destroy our children, our families, our community. And we rise up as people of God and we say it will not happen on our watch. We will declare the truth of your word, Lord. And I thank you that you say that you contend with him who contends with us. And as the enemy is contending with us, contending for our children, I thank you for that promise that you contend for us and you contend against him. So, Father, today I just ask that you would release a fresh anointing over every mom, over every grandma, over every woman, over every parent, over every person in this room today. Would you release a fresh anointing of your wisdom, of your discernment, of your zeal to come against and to enforce the victory of the cross? Father, I thank you for these men and women in this room that you have raised up, that you have called to be one of your own. And I ask that you would bless them today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. And I'm going to ask the ministry team to come up. And actually, I didn't warn all the ministry team, but I would like for all of you to come up, even if you're not on the schedule for today. Because what I want to invite you to do, this is Mom's Day, yes. If you have never received a mother's blessing, I'm going to ask you to come up to one of the women online. Come on, ministry team. I'm going to ask you to come up to one of the women to receive a woman's blessing, a mother's blessing over you. I don't care if you're a woman or a man. If you have not received a mother's blessing and you would like one, we have one for you. And then if you would like just prayer, I need prayer to know how to pray for my kids. I don't care if you're a mom or a dad or somebody else that doesn't even have children. You know what? You all have spiritual children. Shannon is a teacher, and I think of all of those kids in her classroom that she is mothering. Some of you are teachers. Some of you are in Seeds of Learning, working with those little ones. Some of you have daycares. Some of you are in your jobs where there are people there that you keep encouraging. You are like a mom to them, a parent to them. If you need prayer, you just want prayer and say, I just need prayer to know how to do this. Or you have a specific situation that you're contending for your children, and you want somebody to agree with you, come up for prayer. And then, moms, finally, we want to honor each of you with one of these roses. So whether you come up for prayer or not, we want to make sure you go home with a rose. Not just moms, I want every woman in this auditorium to have a rose. And let me encourage husbands, if you're here, would you come up and get a rose as an act of honor and give it to your wife? If you see some widows here that don't have a husband here anymore, one of you men, get up, come get a rose, take it back to them as an act of honor for who they are. If you don't have any children, I don't care. You still deserve a rose because you are a woman that God has created in His image to share the mother's heart, whoever He puts in your path. I want you to have a rose. Okay? If these are empty, there's another basket by the door. We just want to make sure everyone gets one. Okay? Come on up for prayer, worship team.